Do you ever wonder how successful entrepreneurs built their businesses from scratch? Are you unsure if starting a business is for you? Well, tune in as we discuss how successful entrepreneurs transformed their ideas into reality. Welcome back to From Zero to Revenue with your host, Chris Yap.
Welcome back. You're listening to the podcast show From Zero to Revenue, the show that features the journey of successful entrepreneurs and business leaders from around the world. I'm your host, Chris Yap. Today, we will discuss how customer experience evolved and learned valuable insights from an industry veteran who led over 14,000 customer service employees for Fortune 100 brands on why it is crucial to continuously transform the customer experience. I'd like to thank our sponsor, FBC Asia Pacific, your faster, better, and cheaper outsourcing partner for multilingual customer service and healthcare outsourcing solutions. You can learn more about their services at www.fbcapac.com. I am extremely excited to introduce our guest today, a greatly respected and admired business leader in the outsourcing industry, the co-founder and CEO of FBC Asia Pacific, Mr. Siva Subramaniam. Welcome to the show, Siva.
Thank you, Chris. Thank you for having me.
No, absolutely. I've been looking forward to this episode. Siva, it's an honor to have you in my show today. You know, just for the knowledge of our audience, please tell us a little background about yourself and, you know, FBC APAC.
Yep. Sure, glad to. I'm originally from Sri Lanka, but I grew up in Australia. I've been living in the Philippines now for 13 years. Been in the industry for, as you say, more than 40 years. Started my career with an airline called Pan American, which many people might not know. And eventually with United Airlines, American Airlines. And I work for a whole host of companies from American Express, AIG Consumer Bank, Deloitte Consulting. And my last role was a president or general manager of a Swedish outsource firm called Transcom. Mm-hmm. And we had 14,000 employees at its peak. And since stepping down after 9 years as a GM, I've been doing business consulting until some of our friends from Australia came and asked us to open a new BPO call center that focuses on the future generations rather than the current or the previous generations. And so everything we do is we look forward to the next generation, how the customer experience will evolve with the new people, et cetera. So when we came together, we kind of looked at saying, what is that we really want to accomplish? And we came up with the name Faster, Better, Cheaper, although it sounds a bit corny because it's a commonly used terminology. Mm-hmm. It's something that we take pride in because we are not fishing to catch 1,000 fishes. We want to target a handful of companies and see if we can help them to transform their businesses so they can become faster, better, cheaper themselves, and therefore they can grow. Customer experience is typically a cost center in a company, and therefore if they can reduce the cost to delivering service, those investments can be put into marketing and other avenues to grow the company. So that's where we came up with the FBC organization.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much for sharing that information with us. And before we dive more into the FBC, with your over 40 years of experience in the customer experience industry, how did that come about? I mean, how did you get started in that industry? What's the story behind it?
Yeah, I have a very, rags to riches story. I came from a broken family of six children, a single mom. And I went to work at the age of 16, even though I was a scholar and captain of many sports at school, mm-hmm. As a janitor for Pan Am. And wow. So after I finished cleaning the offices, I would stay back and ask them how to make bookings because the airlines invented the call centers.
Right.
And so I would sit back and learn how to make bookings on my own time and learn the ropes of reservations and making bookings in the airlines. And then I got an opportunity to go to Dubai with Pan American as well. And I was a baggage loader. I used to load bags at the airport. And it was a night shift. So I used to load bags all night. And then I go in the morning into the offices and again, learn how to do bookings and call centers, etc. And then from there, I went to the US and I was in Florida because Pan Am at that time bought an airline called Sunshine Airlines out of Florida. Mm-hmm. And the training academy was in Florida. So I went there and I was a trainer for the Caribbean countries and the Central South American countries. And from there, Pan American sold the Pacific routes to United, and they sent me to Australia to do the transition of the routes. And so I went there and I ended up as managing the airport as well as a call center, and it evolved and grown. Today, even as it speaks, I don't have any academic qualifications. I didn't even finish junior high school purely because I had to support the family and I had obligations to fulfill. Right. But it's, you know, I say to people, I'm blessed to be where I am. You know, coming from the slums of Sri Lanka to where I am today, I'm blessed and I count my blessings every day.
Wow. So, Siva, this is, you know, we've known each other for a while, but this is the first time I've actually heard of this story. So, Siva, thanks so much for sharing. And, you know, this is the reason why I asked this question. You know, a lot of our audience are business leaders or aspiring business leaders and aspiring entrepreneurs. And I think, you know, it's this kind of story that definitely gives hope and motivate. Like, you know, your story, I mean, perfect example. It's just an amazing story and inspiring story. And you know, obviously that I feel like it translates, you know, now that you kind of mentioned that, it translates how your principles when you manage people, like, you know, at Transcom, you manage 14,000 people there. And you have this reputation in the Philippines as someone who is so pro-employees. In fact, you basically fathered the concept of, it's not the concept, it was a reality of having daycare for parents in the office. You know, with that said, what's your basic principles as far as, you know, managing a team that big? What are your key principles as far as managing people?
Yeah, the end of the day, when my mother was a teacher, told me from the younger days, two principles that I should never give up, and that's being honest and loyal. And I've always been very honest. I got into more trouble speaking the truth than lying, but that's the way it is. But I have a passion for people, and because nobody's purposely born poor in this world. And I also say to people, it doesn't matter if you're born poor, but if you die poor, then it's a problem. Because all of us have two hands and two legs, and we need to make something happen. It may not always work out. Academic qualifications is important and good, but your attitude and the way you work and your approach, the passion that you have for the work is important. I had a passion because I had no choice at that younger age because I had to support the family. So no matter what anybody said, I got so many insults and kicks in the backsides because I don't have an academic qualifications. I take it on my chin and I carry on because at the end of the day, I'm honest, I'm loyal, and I work hard to make money. So my principle has always evolved around that. And so as a leader, I spend 95% of my time on my employees. When I moved to the Philippines, I want to understand the Filipino culture. Filipinos are very family-oriented and they love their families and they all work. And some of the employees we had were 19, 20, 21 years old, but they're already the breadwinner in the family and they had to support. Some of these people are college graduates. I mean, Philippines has one of the highest literacy rates. Most of our employees are college graduates. But when you look at their parents, they are either a jeepney rider or a tricycle rider or a garbage cleaner or a farmer. Yet they put their children through college and got them all supported. But when I had the Transcom organization out of 14,000, I had about 3,800 single moms. And so the requirements for them to focus on work meant that they need to find ways to manage their children at home without any help, et cetera. So that's why we looked at what needs to be done. And we built some building blocks starting from a daycare center where the employees can come and leave their kids. They, as you know, they work night shift here to support the US. And so at nighttime, they come and leave the kids in the building. I had five buildings and we had daycare center with a nurse, registered nurse on every site. I even had a nun who would do homework and do Bible study with the kids. I had a built-in pharmacy in all our sites and we had milk powder for babies. and employees could buy medicines and milk powder because a lot of these kids were supporting their parents as well and required a lot of medicines as well. Anything they spend more than 2,000 pesos in Philippine pesos, they can pay it in installments. Mm-hmm. So there's no cash burden. And then Filipinos, I'm generalizing, don't like to save or don't know how to save. And so we came up with a plan where we had a pension plan that they could contribute some and we match, and it's in the bank for minimum 3 years, and then they can withdraw 30% after 3 years, 40% after 4 years, and so on. And so we did everything. We had, we provided free rice. Even now at FBC, anybody who finishes 30 days gets 25 kilos of rice because Filipinos can't live without rice.
That's right.
And that's something even people outside Manila would say to you, the Filipinos, that even if they had rice and salt water, they can survive. They don't need anything else to survive. And so it's those basic needs are important. And when you try and address those things, and it's the old saying, you take care of the employees, they'll take care of the customers, and therefore the shareholders are going to benefit. And that's the mantra I use.
Right. And I've seen it firsthand because, just for the sake of, our audience knowledge here, I've been consulting with FBC for a little over a month now. And I've actually seen you guys in action as far as how you take care of employees at FBC, where, we recently had that major typhoon. And, a lot of the FBC employees, lost a lot of appliances because of the flood. I mean, a lot of this things vanished. And you guys actually offered to replace and provide, little appliances and provide extra help. That was pretty amazing to see that. And obviously, that is much appreciated. Would you say that mentality, as far as your principles with your people, that helped you grow FBC as fast as you did? FBC has only been around for a little over a year, but you guys already have over 1,000 FTEs. Do you think this principle, it resonated all across the, not just with clients, but with, I'm sorry, not just with employees, but with clients as well?
Yeah, but at the end of the day, loyalty is something that money can't buy. It's something that you have to show them that you are passionate and you care for them and you have their best interest at heart. And sometimes, the detriment of us losing money, I rather spend on, helping the employees be successful at home, because they will never forget that. And right. They will always put the extra mile. I mean, I know when I was at Transcom, I've gone through 4 or 5, typhoons, major disasters where Metro Manila was flooded, etc. 90% of the employees will show up. I don't have to call them to come to work.
Right.
They will show up even though their house is flooded, their cars are floating in water, they have no clothes. Mm-hmm. They show up to work and we house them in our building. We provided all the clothing. Some of them even didn't speak to their kids for a couple of days yet, but they knew that we had customers we had to serve, because the US or the UK-based customers would not appreciate or understand that typhoon has really wiped out their home. So we used to keep them and house them. And that's part and parcel of being an offshore supplier. You cannot impact the clients no matter what happens here. In worst case scenario, we can actually set the expectations of the clients that we're going to have some service level impact. But the fact of the matter is that your employees are behind you and happy to come in and work at any stage and any cases is a testament to the way that we actually manage their expectations as well.
That's amazing. So Siva, the customer industry, especially the outsourced customer service industry, is very competitive. There's a lot of big boys. And the population there, it's growing. What separates FBC and, compared to the competition?
Yep. So a couple of things. That's the old saying, size does not matter. So if big boys want to continue building big organization through mergers and acquisitions and organic, good on them. They're very successful for a reason, and they should continue to grow. We went after a niche market, which is mostly the small to medium enterprises, who typically would get neglected because of all these big companies growing, and nobody was focusing in those areas. That's one point. And the second is the customer experience is evolving. As I said, today, 80, 90% of the activities are calls. The rest are chat and email. And that's going to flip. And another couple of years, it's going to be 80% in chat and email. Because when you think about it, your kids and my kids, they're not going to pick up the phone and call somebody. They're going to chat because they are the new generation. They take the easy way, the lazy way, you know. And so, you know, we need to cater for those clients. And so, and artificial intelligence is here to stay. It's coming. Is it fine-tuned and working very well? No. It's a process where you have to go through to make sure you get to the right mix. And that is going to be through trial and error. And so we said we're going to offer an agentless first call. What that means is all the calls will go into an AI, which will design customer design for clients. In the event the call cannot be resolved in the AI, then we will send it to a Filipino-based agent who speaks English and can handle the call. In the event client doesn't speak very good English and want to speak in their native language, we have a partnership with a company in Malaysia that has operations in South Africa, Lima, Peru, and Fiji, where they can handle most of the Asian languages, European languages, and Latin American languages. So customer can come in one-stop shop, get their results in the AI or even IVR for that matter. If that's not good enough, they have an option to go to an English-speaking agent. And if they want to speak in Chinese or French or German or Spanish or Portuguese, we do have the option, so they don't have to go anywhere else. And so that's kind of the way we have built this whole process. And all our solutions is cloud-based, so easy to integrate with any of the client's tools. And we have our own IT organization that develops tools. So we have our own telephony system in the cloud, and we also have tools that monitor the screens of the agents because we do have a lot of people working at home. We have office-based as well. Clients in the US and UK and all those overseas countries have an anxiety about people working at home, whether they are really working or what are they doing. And so we have a desktop monitoring tool that we designed and developed. We are not the only one. There are other tools like that as well. But basically, a client has full access to the agent's screen. They can watch what the agent is doing. Are they going to any social media applications? Are they focused? Or are they accessing the right tools for the client? All those things are available. And so the client should have a peace of mind. Now, there are clients who would not like people working at home, especially the banks or the finance services industry. For them, we have an office-based solutions with the required cybersecurity requirements.
Sure. So those are at least three major differentiators you have there. You know, number one, you know, you support an omni-channel interaction with customers. Number two, you have the capability for a multi-language customer service experience. And obviously, you have a combination of work from home as well as on-site, in-office. So that's a major differentiator. Now, Siva, you know, with your 40-plus years in the customer service experience, obviously, you've seen how the industry evolved, right? What do you think is the biggest transformation or differences in the way customer service was done previously compared to today?
Yeah. Just on a side note, you keep referring to 40 years of experience. I started when I was 5 years old, just so you know, for the record.
Okay.
But the needs are changing. You can't be very generic in the way you handle the customer. The full life cycle of the customer is important. Give you an example. If you are a customer of insurance company and you have a home and contents insurance, and now you want to get your car insured, you go through the entire life cycle and, you know, like a new cold call. Mm-hmm. Whereas if I know the history of the customer and he's already an existing customer and he wants to go from home and contents to car, I just find out how much insurance do you want to cover because I have the rest of the details. That doesn't happen today because most companies operate their different lines of businesses in a vertical environment and they are not integrated from that perspective. That is what the cloud solutions and that brings to the table because a middleware, which was traditionally at the back end of all the solutions, now comes to the front end of the solutions. So the entire customer's life cycle, et cetera, can be captured at the front end. And therefore, when the customer talks to the agent, they have the information at the fingertips. So they just qualify, say, Mr. Yap, are you here? Your date of birth or something to validate your identification? and then get into details. But the second part of it is the business continuation in the current pandemic and all these things. Most companies were not prepared for it. Most companies, like anybody, would have a standby site or a second site in case one site goes down or a different country or whatever it is. That's how always it's been. But I think the work from home is going to be a new norm and will form as a business continuation. They'll still have the standby site, but work from home, it's something that you need to do. It's been, as we speak, it is getting refined every day because it's not a perfect solution yet. There are challenges with infrastructure, there are challenges with security and all those things. So it is not there yet as a perfect solution, but it is something that you will see most companies investing in the future because this pandemic happened. There's no reason why it cannot, something like this can happen again. Mm-hmm. And instead of scrambling for continuation to make sure the customer service is not disrupted, companies need to plan for those things and make sure that they have this future. So it's going to be a lot of transformation from that perspective. And the last point is, when you speak to me as a customer service agent, I need to make you feel like you are the only customer I have. Mm-hmm. And the only way I'm going to do that is I have all your details at my fingertips and, you know, drop things into the conversation that makes you feel that, hey, these guys know about me. They know my history and everything. I don't have to sit and tell them who I am, what I am, you know, what's my address, my grandfather's name, grandmother's name. You don't need to know all that. Right. So it's just, it's called customer persona. You need to understand each customer is different, and we need to give the tools to the employees at their fingertips, at their desktops, so that they can customize the whole call to the customer and manage it from a customer persona perspective.
That's amazing. I mean, it's just, just looking at how the industry evolved, and you touched on a pretty critical component of the way customer service is delivered right now. You know, you mentioned AI, robots. Why do you think it's important for companies to transform and adapt with technology?
When you say it's the old 80-20 principle, you can't have agents for every simple call. So anything that's low-hanging fruits that can be a self-service tool, like an account balance or how much do I have to pay account, and when is my payment due? Can I get a statement? You don't have to speak to an agent. Agent is costly. So if you can automate those things and allow the customers to self-manage their requirements, the basic requirements in the technology that we provide, is good. But you talked about omnichannel. We need to make sure that we make all channels available. And there's an old book I used to read, written by a gentleman by the name of Ken Blanchard. It's called The Raving Fans. It's a fundamental or rudimental error that a lot of companies do, that they have all this new sexy technology that they think is going to be suitable, but that's not what the customer wants. So the book says, if you want to create raving fans, because happy customers are no longer happy because tomorrow somebody else offers a cheaper rate, they'll be gone.
Right.
You need to create raving fans who rave about the experience they had with the company, and they'll share that information with their friends because the word of mouth is far more powerful than you're trying to do all the marketing that you need. Similarly, you have to create raving employees as well. But the book says, ask what the customer wants and deliver plus one. So don't assume.
Right.
Ask what the customer, how they want to interact, and assume. So you need to do a fair amount of research to understand what the customer expectations are. And that's evolved. That's going to change. Right now, you look at the baby boomers, they have a different expectation. The Gen Zs and the Gen Xs and all that, they have a different expectations. The sooner we build that transformation and transition from voice-based to omnichannel and non-voice-based programs, the better off you are and better prepared you're going to be for the future of this customer experience program. So it's that is what is important.
And with the pandemic, which I'm pretty sure it's a major driver as far as pivoting and changing, how did the pandemic change the way business operate in today's environment? And how did that change the way one handles customer experience?
Well, the discussion and the conversation is still the same. Mm. How you deliver it and where you deliver it from has changed.
Okay.
Traditionally, from a brick and mortar in a building that you would deliver from a large call center has evolved. And now it's being delivered out of homes for a large part. In the Philippines, for example, most BPO companies, I'm generalizing, 50% of the operations is now home-based. And they had to move computers and PCs because they were not ready for these things, get internet and et cetera, to move it to the home-based program. Some have extended, like the large companies like Facebook and all those guys have said they want the employees to work from home for rest of the year, in some cases, rest of their life. So these are things that the leaders are thinking about. How can we make it easier? It certainly is cheaper to have somebody work from home than office because you don't have to lease and build offices.
Right.
So all these things will happen, and the standard standby site will still exist. The traditional business continuation, disaster recovery plans will remain, but work at home is going to take a significant play in the future as to how we handle it, and supported by the AI, where the mundane calls are addressed there, so you don't have to have lots of people. You can do it at fewer numbers.
So with the work from home, and you mentioned business continuity plan, how does the new normal, you know, with work from home, how does that affect business continuity planning for, you know, companies like FBC?
I mean, we already have. We started well before the pandemic. We started in July 2019 with the work at home because I wanted to take, I wanted to offer the work at home single moms the opportunity to work from home and still use their skills. Mm-hmm. And so that was a driver for us at that time. And we also didn't know what the plans were going to be. We had a strategic plan to grow the business to 1,000 people, but we didn't know where that's going to come. So if you go and invest in buildings and infrastructure without knowing, it's a chicken and egg, without knowing where the business is going to come, it's hard. So the work at home is a low-cost option, still works, because at the end of the day, the differentiator is the person who answers the phone. How you get the call to the person is what BPO companies like us should focus on. So it'd be a seamless transfer. It has to be a solid, good quality, cybersecurity, all of those is important. And that's how we have set up. And yeah, so we also have the monitoring tools that we developed, et cetera. And then if a client says they want to be in the office, we offer them the office as well. Mm-hmm. And when they want the office, we have them in two or three offices. So they don't have to be stuck in one office in case there's a floods in Manila. They have another option outside Manila to take those calls, et cetera. At the end of the day, from a customer perspective, the customer does not care what problems you have. Customer wants the answer, the phone call answered. And that's what's important. And so we need to make sure that whatever we do is seamless and the customer ability for a customer to contact us is not interrupted in any way or form.
Awesome. So Siva, with the technology coming into play, and you spoke about, you know, transformation, the way customer service is managed and handled. Do you see job losses in the future in the customer service industry with all this technology coming into play? I mean, AI has been a discussion for the last decade, and obviously we're seeing it right now. How do you see the future of jobs or employment in the customer service industry?
Yeah, it's with anything that you do. If you stay in your position, mm-hmm. and don't change anything, you are a good target for your job to be lost.
Right.
So as the technologies get involved and they take the basic and mundane calls, every employee should be looking at reskilling themselves and start ways to handle more complex calls. Because if AI can't handle most complex calls, so there will be a need for them to upskill. So the people who are motivated and driven to upskill self, upgrade themselves, won't have to worry about job losses. But if you want to stay in basic answering yes, sir, no, sir, three bags full, sir, that those jobs will be affected. Technologies will evolve, and we'll need lesser people than we require, and that's going to happen. Mm-hmm. But it is probably three, four, 5 years away for that to completely take an impact. But the more prepared companies are reskilling and evaluating the employees and upskilling it, so they can handle more complex calls. Obviously, we have to give them the tools to do the job and the training, but it's something, you know, you have to plan and be strategically ready in another 2 to 3 years.
Sure. And I'm sure, you know, we've got audience from the Philippines and here in the US who are actually in the customer service industry listening right now. So to that point, for our audience listening today who are involved in managing their clients' customer experience for their companies, what advice would you give them really to keep their customers happy?
Okay. I mean, I'm going to give Philippines a plug here because there's a reason why I do business here. I've been here for 13 years. Philippines has the highest literacy rates in the world, 93-94%. There are 1.4 million graduates who come through the gates every year.
Right.
But I say this in jest to all the people, all Filipinos, all probably 99.9% Filipinos come with a good attitude chip in their brain.
Right.
When somebody has a good attitude, you can give them the skills. And so I would encourage all the leaders to challenge their employees to reskill and upskill and upgrade themselves now because they have the attitude. They, when the phone call comes through, you know, a Filipino will 9 out of 10 times handle the call extremely well because they have the composure, they have the language skills, they've got the education, the attitude, always, you know, willing to win. And so when you have all those things in your back pocket, all you need to do as a leader is to keep continuously upskilling them and give them, because nobody was born a perfect call center agent. I was not a call center agent when I was born. I'm still not am. So it's just one of those things. You just have to, you know, focus on how can we give them more education? How can we make the standards better? And you have to challenge yourself. If you, if you're a Filipino, you'll know. Filipinos are very patient people as well. You know, if you go into any shops or any call center, local call center, they'll wait on the queue and they'll wait in the even at the bank teller's queue, they'll not complain. They'll stand in a queue. I won't. If I take more than 2 minutes, make a scene. And that attitude has to come because you need to understand in the US, if a cable outage is done, it's life and death.
Right.
And so the American customer doesn't have patience if there's a cable is out. Mm-hmm. There's an outage. So you need to have those appreciation and how can we troubleshoot? How can we make it better? How can we make it faster? Because that's the customer expectation. And so by reskilling and upskilling in people, you're able for them to handle the calls at first call. You don't have to take the call and then transfer to a level one, level two, or level three technical support. It should be a first one-stop shop, first call resolution. And you need to upskill all the agents to handle the entire customer problem.
Wow. Well, Siva, we are at the end of our show here. I'm pretty sure a lot of our listeners would want to reach out to you and, you know, most likely pick your brain as far as, you know, the management and the customer service, as well as learn more about FBC. What's the best way to get in touch with you, Siva?
Well, I guess my email and my telephone number. I'm in the Philippines, and I'm on WhatsApp in most of the cases. Mm-hmm. I don't want you have already given our website, www.fbcapac.com. That's the way to do it. And all I can say is customer experience is an attitude. If somebody has the right attitude, any and everything can be done. And that's why I have the pride and joy of living in this country, in Philippines. And use the amazing people that are living here and doing a fantastic job. And that is why the Philippines is the number one call center country in the world.
Oh, 100%. And, you know, I was sent here to the U.S. to actively promote the Philippines.
Traitors. Yeah, we have some traitors. That's all right. It's okay. We don't have to
No, I you know, I help promote. That's what I've been doing, and this I'm still doing it until today, you know, obviously, and it's win-win. You know, it's win-win. You know, a lot of people, it's up for debate that, you know, we're taking jobs from people here, but the reality is, you know, if you compare the industry US and Philippines, the US customer service agents here, they don't like what you're doing. It's more of like a pass by or kind of a band-aid job. In the Philippines, it's different. People really train, they study, they want the job, they stay in the job. And it shows in the attrition rates, you know.
Yeah, I know. I agree with you partially for that. But the bigger issue that people forget is that offshore, from the US, for example, is 60% less than what it would cost them in the US. Mm-hmm. So when you imagine that the companies today are having tight financial backgrounds because of the pandemic and all those issues, call center or customer service is a cost center for most part. I mean, there are some companies transforming it to be a cost center to a profit center. So imagine if they can go offshore and save that 60% on the customer service, that 60% they can reinvest in the business, mm-hmm. based on marketing or research to grow their business, mm-hmm. and continue to grow. The jobs will come through that process because the company has to grow. as opposed to if they stay in the US and pay the enormous amount of money for customer experience, they're not going to have too much investment dollars to invest in research and development and expand the organization. So that's where the key differentiator is. Not that Filipinos are taking the jobs away from the US guys. It is a business strategy. It used to be labor arbitrage in the days I started here in the Philippines. Now, if you look at a CXO or a CFO, labor arbitrage is third or fourth because they believe the Filipinos can do the same or if not equal or better jobs than it can happen in the US at a lower cost. So if you are a businessman and you're putting money in your pocket, where are you going to put your investments? That's all that's important.
Right. And you know, this is why, you know, it's a great situation for FBC and for those who are going to be working with FBC because, you know, FBC, sure, it is a startup, but with, you know, decades of experience in the customer service behind it. So when they work with FBC, they're basically getting the best practice in the industry without having to deal with the bureaucracy and paying a lot more than the big guys. And I think for a smaller to medium-sized businesses who are just getting acquainted with the idea of outsourcing, I think that will definitely come into play. The wealth of experience, obviously technology, and basically the capability. And, you know, obviously that's why I'm here. I'm based in the US and I serve as the bridge between the clients here and the operations in the Philippines. And again, Siva, it's been an honor having you in the show today. Definitely a lot of wisdom. I always learn at least a two or three items from you every time we speak. And I'm sure our audience today learned a lot as well. So this is the end of our show. Thank you guys for listening. Again, this show was brought to you by FBC Asia Pacific, your faster, better, and cheaper outsourcing partner for multilingual customer service and healthcare outsourcing solutions. You can learn more about their services at www.fbcapac.com. This has been your host, Chris Yap, of the podcast show From Zero to Revenue. As Stephen Covey said, all things are created twice, first in the mind, then in reality.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of From Zero to Revenue with your host, Chris Yap. If you've enjoyed the show, please feel free to rate, subscribe, and review on your preferred podcast listening platform. We really appreciate that effort. Until next time.